has been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to the Friday. It's the Friday edition of the Best Stocks Now show with the professional money manager, Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management. And I sent out a message to my subscribers and the clients who want to receive my messages throughout the day, which is only about two or three messages. I said, you know, the earnings report since last night, since yesterday's close and today have been nothing short of phenomenal. Okay, now that's the earnings. That's one piece of the puzzle. We've also got interest rates kind of tame right now with the 10-year. It's not bursting through that 6 area. But the technical analysis, which I'm going to go over a little bit here today, doesn't look very good. That represents the sentiment of the market. So right now you've got kind of a mixed market. The Dow is down 40 points. It's mostly Chevron, which last time I looked was down 5%. But the NASDAQ is up 129 on superb earnings from Intel. Stocks are joining in the rally today. We have one of the biggest winners in the market today in a small-cap shoemaker, believe it or not. The S&P's up 11 today to 4,148. The Russell 2000's down 10. Crude oil is up 25 cents. It's cleared down at 83.46, and that all-important 10-year is holding steady today at 4.85%. So welcome to today's Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson. Barry will be back with us on Monday. We're having a little trouble with the board there in Texas where our show is produced. I think they've got it figured out, but in the meantime, I'm flying solo here today, which I've done many times in my life. Yesterday, we had just a nasty day in the market, and I want to give a little bit of a little lesson on technical analysis here. The Dow was down 252, and of the three indexes, the Dow is definitely the weakest. You know, consider that the Dow for the year now is down about 1 or 2%, somewhere in there, depending on where we close today. Also consider that the Dow is now below its 200-day moving average, which is a pretty significant support level that it did not hold. But it has gone below its 200-day moving average this year and has bounced back from there. But I'd say the most worrisome thing about the Dow, and this has to be watched very closely, is the 50-day moving average is heading downwards. It's been heading downwards for the last 2 months, and it's getting really close to crossing below the 200-day moving average. Well, that sounds like a bunch of mumbo-jumbo to me, but it's a very important technical indicator that the market watches, and the market will react. It's already reacting here to the weakness, but having said that, many times over the last 15 years since 2009, we've seen this condition almost hit that moving average crossover, which we call a death cross, and that indicates a very oversold condition, which the market snaps back from. So I can't tell you right now, if it breaks down and we get a death cross on the Dow, there's going to be a lot of exodus from the market by the technical analysts that are watching such a thing. And then you would have to probably deploy some inverse funds. What would be some inverse hedges against big cap large companies like the Dow? Well, I mean, the first obvious one is Dog. Dog is inverse the Dow, 1-to-1, which is Dog is up a little bit this year while the Dow is down. And if the Dow goes on a 20% spill, Dog would go up 20%. The next level of hedges against the Dow would be DXD, which is two times, double your pleasure, double your fun. It's two times inverse the Dow, and it's up about 4 or 5% so far this year. And then you could also use, you know, what else looks really bad right now technically are the emerging markets, which is China, Vietnam, Latin America. They're submerging. EUM would be a good inverse against large cap stocks, especially if you have big gains in your stocks and you don't want to sell them. Most of us are sitting on gains this year. You can use a hedge here. And then the other one that comes to mind, EUM, DXD, you could even use PSQ, which is inverse the NASDAQ, because several Dow stocks are in the NASDAQ, and that's a hedge against these large-cap tech stocks that all of a sudden are coming into question a little bit this past week with Meta and Google selling off quite a bit. But today we're getting Amazon lifting the market. So I'm just giving you, I watch three things as a semi-active investor. I'm not a day trader. I'm not a trader. I'm active. I'm not passive. I don't just sit and stay the course when a certain asset class is starting to go to hell. No, I have to take action. And the Dow is in a very precarious position right now, but that's only from a technical point of view. The earnings outlook still looks good. The economy still looks good. The interest rate picture, however, is another crucial part of this whole equation. You know, if we continue to rise on those earnings rate, earning interest rates, which we're hovering at, we're at 4.85. If we were to go above 5 and continue on, that would be two major strikes against the market. It would be the multiple and the technical analysis. So really there's four legs to the stool that I stand on: technical analysis, interest rates, momentum or sentiment, and then, of course, the technical charts, and then valuation. So those, you know, if any one of them goes, you have to take note. But for now, we've got a pretty good day going on in the market. We've had fantastic earnings reports that I'm going to go through today. But even more importantly, the market really started to take off in the futures this morning when the PCE numbers came in lighter than expected. PCE is very important. The you know, the PPI and the CPI are very important, but the one that the Fed really watches is the PCE, which comes out monthly. That is the inflation report that gives them the most information that they need as to what their next move will be in the market with their monthly Fed meetings and interest rates. It's just hard for me to imagine that they would hike interest rates. With the war in Israel, with a little bit of wobble, you know, in our economy, with high interest rates cutting into the real estate sector and other sectors, the automobile sector, anywhere that requires consumers to borrow money. Of course, MasterCard not doing too good this week, Visa not doing too well. You know, that Fed is going to base their decision. The PCE plays a major role in their decision. The PCE came in at 3.7, which was in line with expectations, but the core PC was only 2.4%. That's pretty good at an annualized rate. Don't forget their target for inflation is 2%. The core is now at 2.4. And then when you throw in the other things, it's at 3.7. So that's got to please the Fed, and hopefully they will not even consider hiking rates in November or in December. So that's where we sit right now. The market liked the PCE number. The market likes a lot of the earnings that came in. When we come back, we're going to focus on the two big ones today, actually three big ones today. You had a very good report from a major, the biggest retailer in the world, which also has tremendous exposure to AI and the cloud. And this kind of offset the news that wasn't so good from Google, Alphabet yesterday, or Meta yesterday, and Google the day before. So, you know, you had Microsoft this week with a good report, Alphabet with a report that the reaction was not good to Alphabet's report. I have to let the dust settle here and redo my numbers, see what I'm going to do with my Google position. And then the numbers on Meta were good, but the stock sold off anyways. And then you get blowout numbers from this big retail giant. That's who we're going to talk about when we come back, because it's lighting the market, the NASDAQ, on fire here today. This is Bill Gunderson. It's the Best Stocks Now show. We'll be right back. Today's Best Stocks Now show. Well, of course, the stock I was talking about is Amazon, which came in with a pretty good report. And as of right now, how can you have Walgreens in the Dow and not Amazon? That's just my question. Amazon is up 7.8% right now. That is just an incredible move for a 1.3 trillion dollar market cap company. Amazon now up 8%. So it kind of broke the string. You know, you had Microsoft. I'm just talking about the big tech. You had Microsoft with a very good report on Tuesday. Then you had Alphabet just get pounded by 10% on Wednesday. On Wednesday, along with Microsoft. Then on Thursday, we had Meta, which had a good report, but it sold off. So two out of three of the big techs this week selling off. And then, of course, today, Amazon. So now it's 2-2. We still got some more big tech that will report next week. But Amazon is just totally on fire here today. And we do own Amazon. It's one of the 20 stocks we own in our premier growth portfolio. Amazon came in, posted third quarter profit that smashed estimates. You always like to hear that word in the earnings reports. And they reassured investors on his conference call that its future in cloud computing and generative artificial intelligence is bright. In other words, it's a major AI player. It's a major cloud player. In addition to everything they do on the retail side of things, analysts at the investment firm Citi reiterated their buy rating in Amazon and boosted their target price to 177. Well, Amazon is at 129 right now. So that's pretty good. And I think I said earlier this week, I said, you know, Amazon is still a buy at this level. I said the same about the other big tech stocks. Now, let's just check in the app, beststocksnowapp.com. Amazon, I show it with plenty of upside potential to keep your interest here. Amazon is up 42% year to date. 42% year to date. One of the leaders in the market this year, and it continues here today. Let's see if we have anybody else weighing in, upping their target price. There's a lot of growth in front of AWS. That's their cloud. I'm very optimistic about that, says CEO Andy Jassy, who obviously replaced Jeff Bezos as the CEO. And the stabilization in Amazon's cloud results come after Microsoft touted its Azure results earlier this week. That's Microsoft's cloud. But conversely, Google parent Alphabet, which also reported this week, said it was seeing some softness in the cloud. So there you go. We've got a mixed kind of report from two big cloud players. Actually, two out of three of the big cloud players did very good, and Google seems to be the one that lost a little bit of ground in the cloud. The tone of the call was upbeat, with Amazon demonstrating significantly improved profitability while optimistic on AI and experiencing continued stabilization at AWS. Well, you know, Amazon is expecting record earnings next year and record earnings, actually record earnings, yeah, and record earnings the year after that. Okay, now the other one that was a big surprise, it used to be one of the big tech stocks that everybody kept an eye on, Intel. And we've been talking about Intel all year, and I've been very tempted. I mean, it's been, it's like a shiny lure that comes by every once in a while. I wonder whether or not to go after it or not. And I have decided I have not. But they continue to talk turnaround, okay? Now, I'm just looking at their last four quarters of earnings. Their growth is improving. The first quarter of this year, their earnings were down 32%. The second quarter, they're down 36%. Last quarter, they were down 15%. But finally, they narrowed the gap to 8%. Actually, that's sales. So their sales are finally starting to improve. But more importantly, they've gone from really negative growth in earnings for the last four quarters. They finally delivered a quarter, 41 cents versus 37 cents last year. That's their first growth quarter in earnings in a long, long time. And that would suggest that there is a turnaround in place from a profitability and earnings point of view, which is what is critical. And they reported third quarter results and guidance that handily topped expectations, thanks to a continued rebound in the PC market. Okay, they're being helped. They've got a little bit of wind at their back. That's a good thing. An event that is not going unnoticed by Wall Street firms. Additionally, the coming quarter is likely showing sequential growth in the data center and server area, which is a very important part of the market these days. And Intel stock right now is up 10.2%, okay? So, you know, the bad sentiment in the market, the dreariness that has been hanging over the market here for the last 3 or 4 weeks, you've got some really solid earnings taking place, which I continue to say at some point in time, the market will return to the earnings picture and focus on that. Intel certainly is helping that today. The stock is up 10.4% on four times normal volume. My problem with Intel, I'm having a hard time from the valuation point of view. They're going to have to become a 7 to 10% grower again to make any sense from a valuation point of view, and I think that's backed up. Your J.P. Morgan has a $37 target price on Intel. Intel's at 36 right now. Why would I buy a stock at 36 with a $37 target price? My target price is higher than that, but you have to go out 5 years, and it still doesn't meet my valuation and risk-to-reward criteria. Okay, when we come back, I'm going to talk about one of the great stocks of all time. Back in 2013 when I wrote my book, Best Stocks Now, I believe it was one of the anointed ones. I have owned this stock for off and on over the years, and really, really an impressive company headquartered in Central California on the coast, a little town named Goleta, which I've been through many times, pretty little town. They have come out with some products that have just blown away the industry. They've got one now. I wear their product, and the stock just had a blowout earnings. We own it in our Ultra Growth portfolio of 20 stocks. We'll be right back.
This is Bill Gunderson. Thank you for tuning in to today's Best Stocks Now, Best Inverse Funds Now show. I put several hours of research in during the wee hours of the morning each day to bring you the very best cutting-edge stories that I can. To get 2 free weeks of my newsletter, go to GundersonCapital.com. To talk to us about our fee-based only money management services, call us at 855-611-BEST. Now, back to the second half of the show. Welcome back here to the second half of today's Best Stocks Now show. We have interest rates tame today, 4.85%. We need to keep those things under control. If they go above 5 and continue on, that's not going to be good for the market. You've got the NASDAQ up 109 today, mostly Intel and Amazon. And you've got the Dow down 120, but it's mostly Chevron, which last time I looked was down 5%. Okay, small cap time. I love small cap stocks, even though they have had the wind in their face for the last 5 years, with just not in a good spot. But we have, I think, the biggest winner in the market today, if you're looking at a stock of any size, and it's hitting a new all-time high. It's one of our biggest holdings in the ultra growth portfolio. This is a $15 billion market cap company by the name of Deckers Outdoor. D-E-C-K, headquartered in Goleta, California, which is on the central coast there, not too far from just north of Santa Barbara, just south of San Luis Obispo. They kind of cut their teeth with the sheepskin footwear, UGG boots, and then they came up with the sandals for men. But their hot product right now is their running shoe, which is, I wear them, and I love them. I can't think of the name right now. It starts with an N. I have to look it up. It's just flying off the shelf. You know, I tried when I went to first Hoka, H-O-K-A, when I went to buy them online on Amazon, it was like, you know what, these are not in stock right now. And I tried again. They weren't in stock. Finally, I got them. I love them. They're way different from a Nike shoe, which I used to wear. Nike used to sponsor me. No, I'm just kidding. I was always a Nike, and then I was a New Balance guy because they had the wide shoe. I used to do a lot of running. Now I've got sore ankles, sore knees, sore back, you name it. But the Hokas, they're very spongy. I don't know if it's some kind of a technical advance they made in material or whatever, but I love my Hokas. I don't have near the leg pain and the back problems that I had before. And obviously other people love the Hokas. This stock is up 18% today, 18% on 9 times normal volume. And this is the earnings report of the quarter. Their earnings were up, get this, 79% year over year. And their sales were up 25% year over year. They just absolutely knocked the ball out of the park. And it's the Hoka shoe that I think is driving it. Deckers sells online, but they also have 164 stores internationally. And, you know, I have written about Deckers in the past with the subtitle, Is This the New Nike? Well, you know, the running shoe area has kind of been dominated by a few companies over the years. And if you can just take away some of that market share from them,
They need to start making basketball shoes and baseball shoes and getting some athletes wearing these, I think. Because me wearing them is probably not going to move the needle too much. Deckers Outdoor, $15 billion market cap company. It's in our ultra growth portfolio, which is having a very good year. That's just a blowout report. Okay, now let's go to the other side of the fence. Ford, that's a horrible report. Absolutely horrible. Well, we had an account come to us from a large national firm. One of the holdings was Ford. I got rid of it. That's the first thing I do is I go through portfolios that people move to me over time, and I get rid of them. Some of them I get rid of day one. Bam, you're out. This is garbage. I'm not saying Ford is a garbage company. The stock is garbage. Nothing but trouble. They're kind of in nowhere land with the electric vehicle. You've got both Ford and GM backing off from the electric vehicle. It has not been a good attack for either one of them to take. And I think Ford is going to really reassess where they're at with the electric battery plants. But Ford had just an awful, awful report. And in fact, Ford completely withdrew their 2023 guidance. That's the rest of the year. They had a huge loss in the EV segment. They can't really give any guidance. I mean, they got to work in the numbers, the new numbers from the auto workers settlement, which is, you know, they're putting the pencil to that and they're working out the final details. Ford stock right now is down 9.4%. You know, look, it's a great company. I love Detroit. I love Bloomington Hills. I drove by so many Ford buildings and Ford plants and whatnot. We love our auto workers, but it's a difficult business. It's a very difficult business. You've got the government, the EPA, breathing down their neck to, you know, stop the combustible engines and build all electric. And it's a uphill battle. It's a very difficult the situation right now at Ford. They came in with 39 cents in earnings, which is a miracle in and of itself that they didn't lose money. That missed estimates by 7 cents. They beat their sales estimates, but I think withdrawing the guidance it's not good. I mean, that means they don't know. They're in a black hole. Right now. So anyways, Ford, a big loser today, a horrible report, and the lack of guidance going forward has the stock down 9.6% right now. Okay, how about a crowd favorite and one of the great stocks of all time? Had I written another book in 17 or 18, somewhere in there, I think Chipotle would have been in that book as one of the great stocks of the day. And it's still one of the great stocks of the day. It has a loyal following. Chipotle is up 6.6% today. That's 119%, or $119 per share. Their earnings of $11.36 beat by 73 cents. Revenue of $2.5 billion beats by $30 million. Big beat for Chipotle. Their operating margin was 16%. That's up from 15%. They opened 62 new restaurants during the third quarter with 54 locations, including a Chipotle. In other words, a drive-through. They learned a lesson during the pandemic that the drive-throughs did pretty good during that period of time. While those that didn't have a drive-through suffered. Fourth quarter and full year comparable restaurant sales growth in the mid to high single digits. Very good report for Chipotle. And then we've got Exxon, XOM. The oil stocks actually didn't do very good with their reports today. Exxon is down 2.2%.
Oil is all over the map in price. It's $83, $84 per barrel right now after hitting $92.93. And the other one that has reported is Chevron. Chevron's getting whacked today. We don't own either stock. It's down 5.6% today is Chevron, CVX. Exxon raised their dividend, but Chevron, a big miss there for Chevron. Okay, let's see if we do one more here. I think I'll pick on Enphase. Another difficult business, okay? Ford is being hurt by the move to electric vehicles, and maybe it's a force move. Maybe they really don't want any part of it. They can't sell their Ford Lightnings, which are all electric, the all-electric truck. We heard from Elon Musk with his all-electric truck and the difficulties they're having with it. Well, they're having the same problems in the solar industry. You've got these solar stocks that have been absolutely getting clobbered. Enphase plunges. Enphase is the leading technology stock in the solar industry. They plunge after a Q3 miss. If Enphase can't make it and be successful, by the way, the stock's down 17%, hitting a new 52-week low. What about the rest of the solar stocks? Very difficult industry. And welcome back here to the final segment of today's Best Stocks Now show. Well, I will be working on the newsletter this afternoon after I'm done managing money. The positions that we currently own, and I'm always looking, I have to make three decisions, one of three decisions every day on those positions. Buy, sell, or hold. And most days, obviously, it's hold. But as new clients come in, you know, I did add to some of our positions that new clients didn't own yet. I wait for the right time, and I strike when I think it's in a good position there for buying. I also have to make decisions. Do I cut and run? I have cut and run on a few here this past week. Not a lot, but some smaller ones. I added a big position. I bought two new positions this week, brand new. Three new positions this week. They'll be in the newsletter coming out tomorrow afternoon. I will be updating. This is crucial. Here's the most crucial part of the whole newsletter. We've had a lot of earnings come in this past week. And they all feed into that aggregate earnings estimate for the S&P 500, which is pretty much what the market trades off of. What kind of impact did this week of earnings have on those numbers, which are this year, 2023? We've got just about 8 weeks left in the year, and then we'll have all the earnings done for 2023. We pretty much know where those earnings are going to come in this year. But the market is looking ahead to next year, 2024, and the year after that, even more importantly, the year after that, 2025. And every time those earnings estimates budge a little bit, either up or down, you see the market budge either up or down also. It reacts almost immediately. So anyways, that macro outlook will be very important. I'll be giving an update on how this earnings season has gone. If you'd like to get 2 free weeks of the newsletter, if you could find a better newsletter out there that's more thorough on the market and really strive to be right about the market, especially that macro outlook. And I think if you go back to 2009, 2008, 2007, you'll see that we've pretty much been accurate with our macro outlook on the newsletter. Why? We take emotion out of the equation. Emotion can get the best of you. And we rely on valuation. We rely on the technical analysis of the market, which I say sometimes the problems in the market will first show up in the charts of the market. And we rely on relative strength, momentum, and interest rates also are a big factor in our macro outlook. And, of course, the outlook for the U.S. economy, that drives the bus. So, anyways, I'll have my latest update out tomorrow, hot off the press, sometimes tomorrow afternoon. Get 2 free weeks of the newsletter at GundersonCapital.com. I can't think of a better guide. I mean, there's a lot of fear mongers out there. There's a lot of people, crypto fanatics. There's a lot of people that have an agenda with their newsletters. My agenda is to give you the most accurate information and the most honest analysis of that information that we have that I possibly can give. And I'll also have a featured stock in the newsletter. I've already chose one, and I'm going to be writing about it and the prospects for it going forward. To get 2 free weeks of the newsletter, GundersonCapital.com. To talk to us, I talked to some folks yesterday that we met with in Bloomfield Hills. Continue to talk, and I thank them for spending the time to meet with us. I hope it was useful, and I think almost every one of them. I didn't see anybody that I don't think we can help a little bit going forward. You can set up an appointment with us via Zoom or telephone, 855-611-BEST. You can email us. Just go to GundersonCapital.com, send us a message. And Edie will get back to you. Okay, let's take a look underneath the surface of the market a little bit here. It's the haves and have-nots. And the Dow, Intel's up 9.2%. Microsoft is up 1.6%. The have-nots, Chevron, down 5.6%. Well, I just knocked the solar industry. Hey, the fossil fuel stocks are getting hit today. Chevron's down 5.6. J.P. Morgan, I read that Jamie Dimon is selling a whole heck of a lot, like 1,000 shares. It was a lot. I mean, I did the math in my head. I said, that's about $30 million worth that he is selling. That stock's down 3.1%, and Exxon's down 2.2%. Also very telling here is the S&P 500, the haves and have-nots, where we have Intel up 9.2, Dexcom up 8.7, Stanley, Black & Decker, up 8.3. We own the bond on Stanley. Amazon's up 7.5. Chipotle's up 6.6. On the downside, Enphase, a leading maker of technology inverters for the solar industry, Enphase is down 16.6%, and Ford is down 9.2% today. And last but not least, over at the NASDAQ, the leaders are Intel, Amazon, Meta, AMD, and Microsoft. A pretty good day for big tech. All right. Well, you know, there's a lot going on geopolitically in the world. That is impacting the market. I think it gives the market a little bit of a risk-off nature right now. I think it makes the market more nervous because we worry about, you know, the conflict in Israel growing to more countries obviously Iran and Syria and China and even Russia. So there's a lot going on in the world. The interest rate picture is a very important factor in that 10-year rate and, of course, earnings. All right. Again, to get the newsletter, GundersonCapital.com, to set up an appointment with us, 855-611-BEST, 855-611-BEST. Our next trip will be to the Sarasota area. I have not picked a date yet. But we'll be headed down there soon. When it starts getting really cold in Minnesota and in New Jersey and, you know, Ohio, and the snowbirds start heading south for the winter, we'll be on that receiving end to talk to you folks down there. All right, have a great weekend, everybody.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Ameritrade. Ameritrade is a member of SIPC and FINRA.